On this episode of the Edge Podcast, ClearEdge CEO and founder Leslie Vickery interviews PeopleScout President Taryn Owen. Taryn shares details of her career journey, insights into the powerful values that shape PeopleScout's success across the globe, and her personal approach to work-life balance, which is to always focus on what matters most. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, everyone. This is Leslie Vickery, CEO and founder of ClearEdge Marketing and host of the Edge podcast, content dedicated to featuring executive women in the recruitment industry, as well as shining the light on company D&I initiatives. If you know me and you've listened to our podcast often or read anything that I've written about, you know I have a favorite saying. If you can't see it, you can't be it. Meaning, if we can't see all of the wonderful women who are leaders in our industry, if they're just behind the scenes making things happen, but perhaps we don't hear their stories broadly as an industry, how can the up-and-comers know exactly what's possible for them? As I was preparing for this podcast, I couldn't help but think about an event coming up during Staffing World. It's actually called Advancing Women Leaders in the Staffing Industry and is the only Staffing World session exclusively by women for women, and that's coming up on October 15th. I made a decision as part of ClearEdge to sponsor it along with Bullhorn, and that part of Staffing World agenda to make sure in an effort to continue highlighting how fortunate we are as an industry to have such strong female leaders. Leaders who are willing to use their voice to make change, share their stories in hopes of diversifying our industry, and open more doors for up-and-comers. One such leader is here with us today on the Edge podcast, and that's Taryn Owen, president of PeopleScout. Taryn has been recognized with numerous industry awards, including SIA's 2018 and 2017 Staffing 100, 2017 Global Power 100 for Women in Staffing. She received a Gold Stevie Award for Female Executive of the Year, a Gold American Business Award for Executive of the Year, and a Silver Stevie Award for Women of the Year Business Services. She also appeared on the HRO Today HR Superstars list. She's been on that list actually since 2016. And if that's not enough, Taryn was just named a winner at the Women World Awards as the Female Executive of the Year Business Services category. Wow, what an accomplished leader. And Taryn, I'm so happy to have you on our podcast today. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
We both got our start in the recruitment industry at Furion, just 1 year apart, where you started as a recruiter and quickly earned Recruiter of the Year and top producer of revenue. You joined PeopleScout 9 years ago as Vice President of International Operations, and today you're running the entire operation as President. I'm confident people listening in would love to hear about your career journey. So perhaps you can tell us a little bit about that, as well as what it is about PeopleScout that has kept you engaged for this long.
I have to say, from a young age, I learned to see opportunity where others might see obstacles. And I have always felt deeply motivated, knowing that if I work hard, I can succeed. This motivation has been a key driver throughout my career. From early on, if there was an opportunity to take on something new or challenging, I'd raise my hand. As a result, I've had many opportunities to work on complex projects that have helped accelerate my growth. At PeopleScout, that innate motivation has been further ignited by a passion for what we do and a deep sense of pride in the people of PeopleScout. It is incredibly powerful to be so clear about our purpose. We show up every day inspired to find, engage, and deliver the best talent for our clients and excited to create positive change by helping people connect with meaningful work. That keeps me engaged, energized, and looking forward.
Engaged, energized, and looking forward. That is something that is a key trait that we hope that a lot of people on our teams would have. And I know, and just looking at my career, one of the things that has stood out to me is looking at the various women in the recruitment industry at your executive level. So again, staying engaged, having that energy to basically give everything you have, which I know obviously you have done. Look at all of the accolades and the success that you've had. But what's interesting, Taryn, is you've had such a successful path in your career. And when it comes to women in the recruitment industry at your level, at the executive level, it really isn't a long list. So that's kind of at that president C-suite level. That said, I can rattle off several senior women in the RPO and MSP space, so kind of that segment of the recruitment industry. What do you attribute that to, and what can other segments of the recruitment industry learn from RPO and MSPs when it comes to diversity and inclusion?
Sure. As I think about my peers in our industry, first, I'm honored to be in such good company. We have some truly pioneering women in our space that have made it possible for a woman to operate at the most senior level. Each time a woman reaches that level, it makes it just a little bit easier for the woman coming up behind her. For me, creating an environment that enables everyone to be their best selves is something that I am passionate about. I believe that when you create a culture of authenticity and inclusion, you enable people to be their best. And that is like an accelerant for creative thinking. When you combine that with the sort of rapid growth that we've experienced at PeopleScout and RPO and MSP, it opens up opportunities for those willing to work hard, embrace change, and bring new ideas. If you have those attributes, you will succeed and you will lead. One of our PeopleScout culture principles is we are one global PeopleScout. That is something I think about a lot and something that we must continue to ingrain even more deeply into our DNA. Being one global PeopleScout means that we expect and respect and value people of all backgrounds, and that we strive to create an inclusive working environment that enables collaboration and allows us to benefit from the diversity of our collective experience and expertise. I take this very personally and something that I challenge us to continually raise the bar on.
It's so important when you mentioned having it thread throughout the DNA. And it's interesting, the last couple of podcasts we've recorded, a lot of people have said that they really just think about being the best at what they do and hiring, you know, people who are the best at what they do, and just ensuring that, making sure everyone has that feeling of acceptance within the company and that they are welcome. And that naturally that will lead to, you know, the growth of ensuring a diverse culture and organization. So it's great that we have people like you who are very passionate and committed to doing that. And obviously that's something that, again, this segment of the recruitment industry seems to have going well for them, which is a good thing for all of us, and a lot we can learn. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit here on you, Taryn. We work with a lot of companies in what we would call hyper growth mode, looking to get from, let's say, 75 to 150 million or 500 million to 1 billion over the course of a few years. Some of those grow either organically or through acquisition, or they may even try a hybrid approach. PeopleScout, actually, I don't know if you knew this, acquired one of our clients back in the day. So Aon Hewitt's RPO division used to outsource their marketing to our company. So we've seen a lot of companies struggle over the years with the successful integration of acquisitions, and some even avoiding acquisitions for growth at all costs because of the many horror stories they hear from deals gone bad. And we've certainly seen some of those. That said, during your tenure with PeopleScout, you have led several acquisitions. Perhaps you could tell us the secret of how you've been able to blend two distinct companies and cultures successfully, and how your acquisition strategy fits into your overall global growth strategy.
Absolutely. We have been fortunate to manage five successful integrations in 5 years. It has been a lot of fun. As I think about that success, striving to operate as one global PeopleScout, one team around the world, is central to that success. The cohesion of our teams and our culture and our shared commitment to serving our clients with consistency and agility, regardless of geography, are cornerstones of who we are as an organization. We formally adopted our One Global PeopleScout culture principle as part of the Aon acquisition. We embrace this principle to allow the newly formed organization to operate as one team and to engage all employees in our new culture, whether they were part of legacy Aon or our own legacy PeopleScout organization. We recognized the value of talent that we gained with Aon and wanted to retain the team and raise our collective intelligence. Part of that journey was to review our legacy mission, vision, and culture principles and create something new that represented who we were and are together. That was such a valuable process and was a major milestone for PeopleScout and our maturity. With our recent acquisition of TMP Holdings LTD in the UK, we came together with highly complementary legacy company cultures. That said, We wanted to be sure that our mission, vision, and culture principles represented all of our talented colleagues around the world and that we preserved the incredible, vibrant legacy TMP culture. So we went through an exercise similar to the one that we completed after the Aon acquisition and launched a refreshed People Scout MVP on the first anniversary of the acquisition that unites us around who we are today, who we want to be in the future, and the strength of our collective culture. So that idea of One Global People Scout has really been a driving force behind our acquisition success, and it's taken on a real depth of meaning as we think about diversity and inclusion across all the dimensions that come into play as you work across continents. I'm happy to share that we've been incredibly fortunate to retain the entire TMP leadership team and client base. The team has brought a strong point of view and tremendous energy to People Scout. Since joining us, they have continued to be recognized for their creative leadership in the RPO and recruitment marketing space. They have also become sought-after collaborators across the organization with a lot of early success in joint solutioning across our EMEA and APAC teams. With TMP, the ongoing growth of our successful global delivery centers and fast approaching half of People Scout employees outside of the United States, we are in a great position to support our clients' talent needs anywhere in the world.
So a couple things you mentioned, Taryn, a lot of fun. Not many people say that about acquisition. So again, that is something that I think stands out when you go into the reason behind the acquisitions. And again, when you look at some of the reasons behind the TMP Holdings LTD acquisition, which we'll talk about here in a minute, it's exciting and it's growth. And when you have the right process and mentality around it, it can be a really good thing, especially when you do the right due diligence. And to your point, one global people and one team, bringing them in and embracing them and going through the exercises that you've done with each of them to ensure that there's that good fit is a lesson and a playbook I'm confident a lot of people listening will take to heart, and maybe something you end up getting some questions about to help, you know, add even additional value. So with that, in the acquisition of TMP Holdings LTD, it actually added this new service to your mix with talent advisory. And perhaps you could expand a little bit on what's in the talent advisory practice and why you thought it was really important to add when you made the acquisition.
Yeah, the TMP acquisition not only expanded our global capabilities, but it also created a powerful talent attraction and advisory offering for our client base comprised of several services, including employer branding and recruitment marketing, assessment, and talent acquisition strategy. So whether it's attrition, attraction, skill shortages, too many applicants, delivery capacity, or improving diversity and inclusion, we create and deliver solutions that solve those complex challenges for our customers. These types of value-added services, in my view, will continue to become more critical to an organization's ability to attract the talent that they need as the talent landscape continues to become more challenging due to evolving candidate and employee preferences, skill shortages, and digital disruption, particularly as you think about the opportunity, but also the imperative to ensure that each touch point, whether human to human or human to tech, inspires candidates to want to join a client's organization by bringing their brand story to life.
I cannot place enough emphasis on the importance of employment branding. And when we look at the recruitment industry, I think a lot of companies can attest to having challenges when a company's brand isn't to where you want it to be, yet you're having to recruit for them. From the talent perspective, it can really, you know, put a challenge in what you're trying to do. So adding that offering and ensuring that you're able to actually help them with that is a great value add. I would agree completely. So that is wonderful. So with that, Taryn, just to shift gears for a second, your brand promise is now to next. How does that translate into People Scout's reputation and your vision to lead innovation and talent solutions?
Our brand promise and the promise that we make to each of our clients is to be their global talent partner from now to next. To us, that means that we are trusted to provide the know-how, insight, and tools that our clients need to achieve their people strategy. As part of that, we are always pushing ourselves to look forward and outward and to challenge the status quo and to be the thought leader that can see around the corner and bring our clients insights on what's next in talent solutions while still meeting the talent needs that they have today. That is no small task. It is something that we have to work really hard and strive for. That drive is part of who we are as a company and goes hand in hand with our commitment to leading innovation and talent solutions. In a culture that is client-centric, we strive to deliver service to our customers that extends above and beyond our contractual agreements with laser focus and commitment to our partnerships for the long term.
So, Taryn, when I listen to you talk about your brand promise and all of the things as a company that you're doing when it comes to 5 successful acquisitions and the global growth that you're having and all of the wonderful things you're doing as a company, I can't help but personalize it a little bit and think about myself and the role that I have as a CEO. So you're on the road a lot. I know we both are. You're traveling as well as not just domestically, but internationally, obviously, with a global company. You also have a family. As a newish mom, something I struggle with is realizing that I won't be there for everything. Of course, I'll do my absolute best to be there for what's really important, but sometimes it just feels really overwhelming when trying to be a CEO, a mom, a wife, a sister, a daughter, a friend, a mentor, and a lifelong mentee. I'm really hard enough on myself and need to be more forgiving in general about things that I can't do. But then there's everyone else around us who love to chime in and have comments and their own opinions. So I'm curious, in your world, how do you integrate, quote unquote, work-life balance? And do you ever struggle with the opinions on where you should be focusing your time in work or life? What are some of the lessons you can share with me and those listening?
Well, if I had work-life balance figured out, I would be a best selling author. So in all seriousness, I'll be 100% vulnerable here and say it out loud. I don't have it all figured out, not even close. I go through periods of time where it feels like if I'm excelling at home, I'm failing professionally or vice versa, neither of which make me feel a well-rounded sense of accomplishment. But I will say that this is a focus of mine and it's a work in progress. I have learned personally to focus on what matters the most to me and to say no to all other. You mentioned CEO, mom, wife, sister, daughter, friend, mentor, mentee. Great job on the list, by the way. My list used to include those items plus a far too long list of volunteer groups, the PTO, or other people that just needed a little bit of my time here and there. And so it was myself, my health, exercise, sleep, eating habits that suffered. And then right behind that was my family, all because I felt the need to be all things to all people. I'm an overachiever by nature, so I slip and I overcommit every once in a while, like this summer when I volunteered to plan a family Olympics for our family reunion. But I overall am very focused on doing only a few things really well and being very deliberate about the way that I spend the small balance of time that is left over. For the big stuff, I don't compromise. I'm home for those really important events with my kids. The definition, though, of big stuff has changed and evolved as I've had to find the balance as such. For example, I used to have a hard rule that I don't travel on my kids' birthdays, period. Well, that was a dream because our board meetings started to fall on my kids' birthdays 2 years, 2 of them this year, in fact. And I can't exactly be excused from a board meeting. So I found another fun way to celebrate when I'm not home, an extra present and a special day with mom. So exciting that my youngest, who has a birthday that never falls on a date that I travel, asked if I could please go away on his birthday so that he could get the same special treatment, as he finds the current arrangement to be quite unfair to him. So we found a way for this to work for my family, and my kids understand and they're proud of what I do. So bringing them into that has certainly been helpful. So that, in summary, I don't have it all figured out, but it's a priority. And like all of us and all things, it's a work in progress. Regarding the question around the opinion of others, I used to care very deeply about those opinions and what other people thought, but I've let go of that. And I have to say it's very freeing. So I highly recommend that all listeners consider doing the same. It absolutely helps to focus on what matters to you and your family and you and your family alone and let go of everything else.
So the art of saying no The art of letting go are two very important things that I know are a work in progress for me, and I will continue to try and perfect. I love your perspective on the missing the birthday, because that's something that I know this past year I turned something down that was important for a group I volunteer for, because it fell on my son's third birthday, and he's so little, he doesn't quite get it. It was more just the mom guilt and guilt of what other people would say that kind of came over me. That said, there are times that it makes sense that you don't really have a choice. I love your perspective of, instead of dwelling on something or really not being kind to yourself about it and worrying about it, kind of turning it around, kind of turning the narrative on that and making it into something fun and enjoyable. And quite frankly, maybe even more memorable for them, because they have that special one-on-one time, which I know kids crave, I've heard, at special, you know, different times in their lives, but more than others, but something they certainly crave. Well, thank you for being vulnerable and opening up with us on that. I really appreciate it. Something else women struggle with is confidence. And that could range from asking for a raise or negotiating a salary or speaking up for themselves and being really a champion of their own career. Being a confident leader is certainly an important trait when rallying a company with your vision. What leadership traits do you value most in yourself and others when building your team? And have any of those changed since leading a global organization?
Yeah, I would say most importantly, my team values that I am a hands-on, authentic leader that is honest, fair, and transparent. What you see with me is what you get. There's never a hidden agenda or game playing. I'd actually be quite a terrible poker player. So I don't expect anything from my team that I don't expect of myself. You often hear a phrase regarding leaders having followership that creates an environment where a team will run through a brick wall for their leader. I actually believe that the best leader is surrounded by a team that will run through a brick wall with them. And that's the way in which I operate. Regarding leading a global organization, absolutely. I have learned and grown exponentially as a leader with the fortunate opportunity that I've had to lead and learn from a global team. The diverse cultures, backgrounds, and experiences have brought fostering a culture of vast diversity and inclusion to the forefront of my thinking in everything that we do. So it has been just a tremendous opportunity for me.
Terrific. I love that. Learn and grow with them instead of breaking down the wall for them, doing it with them. That's a great analogy. And I would hope that that's something my team would say as well. It's nice to learn from you in that perspective, and something I will definitely take with me as I look at my leadership traits as well. Let's transition for a second and talk again about People Scout. So it's possible some people on, you know, listening to this podcast haven't heard of People Scout if they're in other areas of recruitment and business and aren't as familiar with the RPO and MSP space. People Scout's a pretty big deal. This year, you were ranked the number one MSP on HRO Today's Baker's Dozen for MSP providers, a leader and star performer on the Everest Peak Matrix Assessment for RPO providers, and a leader in all categories on the Nelson Hall Meet Vendor Evaluation for RPO. Maintaining such a strong reputation and ranking as high on the list as you all do, it doesn't come easy. What do you attribute the company's ability to innovate and create new platforms such as Affinix to?
Well, first, I have to say that we have a phenomenal team at People Scout. Everyone in the company contributes each and every day to the achievement of the accolades that you mentioned. Second, our clients are phenomenal partners to People Scout, and they are truly partners that are focused on collaboration that ultimately supports our success. One of our culture principles is we are nimble yet disciplined. Fostering an environment of nimbleness allows our team to do what's right for our clients, and they are empowered each and every day to do so. Another culture principle is we look outward and forward. We encourage our team to look beyond today, beyond what seems possible, and bring ideas forward that will contribute to the success of People Scout and to the success of our clients and client partnerships.
So I have to say, as I understand it, so I mentioned Affinix a second ago, because apparently there's a great origin story behind it. So as I understand, Karen, it's something you came up with in your car after a tough client meeting. You certainly turned what some would deem a failure into a huge success. So maybe you could share with us that story. And I guess this potentially goes with the culture of being nimble as well.
Absolutely. Well, that was certainly a day to remember. We had lost a deal pursuit that, in my view, we very much should have won. So I made a trip to visit the prospect to ask for candid feedback so that we could better understand why we were not selected as their partner. At the time, we had an agnostic approach to technology, and he said that we lost on the basis of our competitors having either proprietary technology or exclusive relationships with technology providers in our space. The message, candidly, was harsher than this, but that is the summary. The prospect was within driving distance from my home office, and I'll never forget that day. It was pouring down rain. I had a long drive ahead and limited cell phone service. So all that I had was white space to think about that very candid feedback that I was graciously given. The vision of Affinix was born from that drive, taking all of the feedback about us and our competitors, the needs of the client, and imagining a platform that addressed the market needs and surpassed anything that was available in the market. So the idea, the vision of Affinix was born from that drive. But fortunately for me and for PeopleScout, I have an innovative team and partner that took that vision and was able to very quickly make Affinix a reality.
Thank you for sharing that story. I think we can all relate to having meetings like that. However, not always can you turn that into such a wonderful solution and business opportunity. And it truly goes back to, no wonder you have so many rankings as a company and awards as a leader. Just seems to be something that naturally has come to you. So congratulations on all of that success. With that, we are out of time. Sadly, I could talk to you forever. So I'm going to ask you one final question before we close. And Taryn, that would be, if you could share the best advice you have ever been given, what was it and how have you applied it in your personal and professional life?
Oh gosh, there's so much great advice, but I would say the one that I really anchor on is focus on what really matters. Everything else is just noise. So professionally, this has been important for me to remember. There isn't infinite time or resource. So what we don't do is as important as what we do. And personally, as I mentioned, letting go of the nice to haves or what people want or expect from me and focusing my time, attention, and energy on what matters most to me, my family, is an ongoing effort and so very important.
Focus, focus, focus. I agree. And I have lots of notes from this discussion and look forward to implementing some of your advice. I'm sure people listening to the podcast would like to reach out to you potentially with questions around your acquisition strategy, your leadership style. It could be how you were able to be nimble as a company and especially at your size and do the things that you've been able to accomplish. So what is your preferred method of outreach?
Listeners are welcome to email me at towen@peoplescout.com or to connect with me on LinkedIn.
Fantastic. Taryn, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you. It was an honor.
Thanks for listening to The Edge. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to it in iTunes. Feel free to email Leslie at lvickery@clearedgemarketing.com and let us know if you have questions, would like to be a guest or suggest a potential guest, or share topics you'd like to see in the future.